Good morning. It's February 14th, so happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading worship today. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ for us this morning, and Heather Hicks will be our liturgist, and will also be doing the Especially for Children during the service this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so that we'll know you are here with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about our church, you can contact the church via Facebook or by calling the church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us this morning, and if you are watching this service live, you are invited to join our Zoom coffee hour immediately following the service. A link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. The flowers this morning are given by Denny and Sue Ann Norton, and they wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. In other announcements this morning, we have a new sound system here, and it is up and running, and we are learning how to use it. So each week we are tweaking it a little bit, and last week we had a couple tweaks that went in the wrong direction, so we've corrected those, we hope. If you are listening to us this morning, you are welcome to comment on Facebook on how the sound quality is so that we can know how things are going. The demolition of the annex building and the garage is now complete and the ground is leveled off. The construction of the new parking lot will commence in the spring. Ladies' Night Out is this Tuesday and is open to all the women of the church. It will be held at 7 p.m. via Zoom. If you would like to join in, please call the church office. The season of Lent begins this week with Ash Wednesday, and we will begin it with an Ash Wednesday service that will be live streamed at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 17th. We will not be focusing on ashes this year, however. Instead, we will be looking at baptism and the role it plays in our lives and faith, because the original purpose for Lent was to prepare Christians for their baptism on Easter morning. Looking ahead, the annual meeting of the congregation will be held on Sunday, February 28th at 11:15 a.m. via Zoom. And we invite all members to attend that meeting. Guests are welcome. We will also be having a practice meeting for the annual meeting, and that will be next Sunday, February 21st at 11:15 a.m. as well. And this will be to get us ready for the annual meeting, and if you need some help logging on to Zoom, that would be the time to get some help. We would appreciate it if you'd log into the practice meeting so we can get used to dealing with the larger numbers. We've had lots of Zoom meetings of 5, 10, even 15. We haven't had as many as we will have at an annual meeting. So again, log in next Sunday at 11:15 and certainly come to our annual meeting on the 28th at 11:15. You do not have to attend the practice meeting to attend the annual meeting. Please call the church office this week if you have any questions. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Good morning and happy Valentine's Day. Let us be called to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord our God, for great is the Lord, and our God is greatly to be praised. In our worship, may our eyes be opened this day, that we might see the beauty of God's gifts. May our eyes be opened this day, that we might see our need for God's grace. May our eyes be opened this day, that we might see those who are pressed down. May our eyes be opened this day, that we might worship God in spirit and in truth, and having worshiped, we might proclaim the good news with faith and compassion. Let us worship God. Let us pray. Morning by morning, you waken us, O God. Day by day, you show us your wondrous love. The words of your commandments fall fresh upon our listening ears. We heed your wisdom and are renewed by your word. You surround us with countless acts that tell of your majesty. We are struck by your goodness as we are refreshed in your spirit. Come dwell among us, and through Christ let us praise you. You are the God whom we welcome and adore. Amen. New microphone today. Oh, there we go. We're going to try a new microphone today for the kids. And today, Pastor Mark and I are going to be talking about this book, On Beyond Zebra. It's our last Dr. Seuss book for this series. And I would encourage you to read it with your moms and dads. It's about two boys in school who are learning the alphabet. And they know all of their letters, and they can relate their letters to all these really cool animals like cats and dogs and squirrels and rabbits and all those fun creatures. And then the second boy says, well, I know about all these other letters and creatures. And he has creatures for all these new letters that he has. And so it just goes to show that we don't always have all the answers when it comes to the alphabet. I want you to close your eyes today and imagine that all the animals that we see here in our community, and I'm not talking about at the zoo, I'm talking about around your house and around town. What animals do you see? Because I've seen squirrels and rabbits and cats and dogs, right? And we might see other animals at our homes, like little hedgehogs or groundhogs, maybe even foxes and deer. I've even seen a coyote out on Route 270 out here, almost got hit by a car. We see all kinds of animals that live around us. And imagine if those are the only animals we ever knew existed. That would be kind of different, wouldn't it? But we know, because we can go to the zoo, we can see animals from all over the world. We can see elephants and giraffes. We can see zebras and hyenas and bats and all kinds of beautiful birds. We can see all kinds of animals from all over the world. But even the zoo can't contain all the animals, because there are some animals that live in environments that the zoo can't replicate. Because if you go way down deep in the ocean, there are animals down there that we don't get to see unless we're in a very tightly packed submarine. And then there are animals down there that look kind of like snakes, but they glow in the dark. Or there are other animals down there that move and swim, different types of sharks and fish, all kinds of animals we've never seen. Or if we go into a dark cave, there are animals there we've never seen. You know, God has so many amazing things for us to know and see, but sometimes we have to go looking for it. Sometimes the answers that we seek, we can't find in the usual places. So we have to seek them in other places. And I want to encourage you over the next week, because we're supposed to get some more snow, to look outside. Some of the birds and stuff that have flown away for the winter means that there are other animals that might come out. Maybe you'll see some tracks in the snow. And I want to encourage you to explore your world and see maybe little things that you haven't seen before. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for this great, big, beautiful earth that you have given to us. But we also thank you, oh God, for others who take pictures and videos of all these amazing creatures and places that we have never seen before, so that we can see them from the comfort of our own home. We pray, oh God, that you would help us to open our eyes to see things that maybe we weren't willing to see or couldn't see before. And we thank you, oh God, for all the tools that you give us to help us explore this big, beautiful world that you have given to us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. There are three scripture passages that I would like to read this morning. And the first one comes from the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. And here, God is speaking to Abram, who later was renamed Abraham, who was the patriarch of the nation of Israel. So, but this is before all that happened. Hear now the word of God. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak at Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson also comes from the Old Testament, but this one is from the book of Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, the 10th through the 13th verses. In that time, the nation of Israel, where Jeremiah was a prophet, was under siege by the nation of Babylon, and things did not look good for the people of Israel. And so, as a prophet of the Lord, Jeremiah delivered a word to the people, and this is what it was. Thus says the Lord, in this place, which you say, it is a waste without human beings or animals, in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without inhabitants, human or animal, there shall once more be heard the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as at first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is a waste, without human beings or animals, and in all its towns there shall again be pasture for shepherds resting flocks, their flocks. in the towns of the hill country, in Shephelah, and of the Negev, in the land of Benjamin, the places around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. Here ends our second reading. Our third reading is from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. This is Mark's version of the Transfiguration. This is Transfiguration in the calendar of the church. It is always the Sunday before Lent. And this is the story that is based on. Hear now these words. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Then suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Here ends our gospel lesson. Let us pray. O Lord God, may these holy scriptures be guides for us this morning and in our lives. By your Spirit, help us to understand their meaning for us today. Amen. Across the top of the main library of Little Rock, Arkansas, are carved the names of great literary figures: Shakespeare, Stevenson, Du Bois, Austin, Cervantes, Plato, and Seuss. I'm impressed that Seuss, better known as Dr. Seuss, also known as Theodore S. Geisel, would make a list of great authors to be carved into the stones of that library. But then, why not? He certainly has had quite an effect on several generations of readers. This winter, I thought that I would preach a series of sermons based on some of the books of Dr. Seuss. After all, he got his name carved in stone. Of course, like any great author, Dr. Seuss's significant attribute was his imagination. He imagined worlds for children and adults to inhabit. Tiny worlds, grandiose worlds, fanciful worlds, jungle worlds, city worlds, ocean worlds, desert worlds, even worlds that are within your own house. Seuss's imagination took us to places we never thought to go. And if you went with him, you discovered it was wonderful. The ability to imagine, however, is not just a quality that authors have, or even a quality of just the secular world. It is a religious quality as well. Heidi Hadsell, president of Hartford Seminary, says, "Religious imagination is an important way that we can open up the future and its alternatives in ways that people who are stuck in this worldly daily life can never see. Religious life is not only about seeing things the way they are. It is also about focusing on how things should be, how God wants them to be. As Hadsell says, that kind of religious endeavor requires imagination." I think Geisel, who was a practicing Lutheran, would resonate with Hadsell's comments. His writings and his artwork were intended to stir the imagination of his readers to see the world in new ways. Geisel did this quite prominently in his book, on Beyond Zebra, which was published in 1955. On Beyond Zebra is set in a classroom where one student is learning his ABCs and a fellow student or mentor is helping him do that. And the student who is learning writes his letters down and says, in Seuss's words, said Conrad Cornelius O'Donald O'Dell, the A is for ape and the B is for bear. The C is for camel and the C is for hare. The M is for mouse and the R is for rat. I know all 26 letters like that. And he finishes his letters, but his teacher, his mentor, speaks up and says, in Seuss's words again, and I said, you can stop at Z if you can stop if you want with the Z, but not me. And the teacher goes on to introduce little Conrad to the whole new alphabet, a whole new world that he never imagined before. He introduces letters such as Glick and Snee and Thad, and characters like Sneedles and Nutches and the Hump Hump a Dumper. Seuss is using his own immense imagination to spur the imagination of his readers. Who would have ever thought to even ask the question, why does the alphabet end in Z? But Seuss gives us permission to ask that question and to look beyond Z and raise a million other questions that are lying out there to be explored. In our second reading, or in our first reading, the one from Genesis, we have an example of God's granting imagination to human beings. Abram is living a very worldly life, managing a large farm operation. He is rich, successful, and respected. If there is a downside to his life, it is that he and his wife Sarai have reached their 70s without having a child. Still, he seems to have come to terms that he won't have an heir, even enlisting his nephew as a favored relative. Abram can't imagine a world beyond the borders of his land, and he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to until God comes to him and gives him something new to imagine. God tells Abraham to leave all this success behind and move to a new land where he will be even more successful. And he and Sarai will be blessed with children who will then go on to become a great nation. Using this newfound imagination, Abram does just that. He is able to look beyond Zebra, to use Seuss's words, to a whole new future. In my second reading, Jeremiah offers a similar form of God's imaginary thinking. Here, the people of Israel are stuck in a very real world trauma. They are on the verge of being conquered by the invading armies of Babylon. Jeremiah doesn't promise that God will save them from the invading armies, but he does help them imagine the future that God has in store for them. Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, in this place of which you say it is a waste without human beings or animals, in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without inhabitants or human animals, there shall once more be heard the voice of mirth." And he goes on to share a vision of what the future will be like in God's hands. Jeremiah is inviting the Israelites not only to see things as they are, but also to imagine how they might be. In the depressed and despairing streets of the cities and towns of ancient Israel, Jeremiah tells them that God is already imagining for them a future filled with joy. What looks like an end, what looks like the letter Z, is not really the end. Jeremiah tells them there is something good beyond, and they only need to imagine it. Our gospel lesson has yet another story of religious imagination. Here, Jesus heads up to the mountaintop and he takes with him Peter, James, and John. There, the three disciples become witnesses to what we call today the Transfiguration. Jesus becomes a vision in white, and he is visited by Moses and Elijah in what is a confirmation of Jesus' divine mission. The three disciples realize that they have seen something extraordinary. That they don't fully understand what this extraordinary thing means is only a sign that their imaginations have not yet been stretched far enough to realize that Jesus was the Son of God. That realization would come as God continued to push their religious imaginations until they experienced the ultimate beyond zebra moment, the resurrection of Jesus. God continues to push our religious imaginations, opening our minds and our hearts to see that what is beyond, to see what could be. Millard Fuller was a successful lawyer and businessman. One day his accountant came to him and said, "I have some good news for you. According to my records, you are now a millionaire. What next?" To which Millard replied, "On to 10 million, on to 100 million. For Millard Fuller, however, things were not going so well at home. His wife, Linda, did not like what she saw happening to her husband or her marriage, and so she decided to leave and go to New York City. She called home and told Fuller that she needed some time away but he could come and see her if he wanted in about a week's time. Millard did just that. He went to New York to see his wife and to see if he could salvage his marriage. The two went to see the Broadway play, It's Never Too Late. They came out and were going to take a taxi ride through Central Park. And when they opened the cab door, the driver said, "Congratulations, this is your lucky day. You are the first ones to ride in my new taxi cab." The couple took that as a sign that maybe there was a chance for them. They took long walks. They talked about what had gone wrong in their marriage and why things were not how they wanted them to be. Finally, they came to the conclusion that they had to return to the Christian faith that had been so important to them when they got married. They charged their accountant to start giving away their wealth. And Millard Fuller went on to found Habitat for Humanity, now a worldwide organization helping people build their own houses. All because God stirred his and his wife's imagination. And then there is the story of Jean Vanier, another person whose religious imagination went beyond zebra. He was a Canadian naval officer who was expected to enter politics when he left the service. However, he took a more imaginative route. He bought a house in Paris and invited Raphael and Philippe, two men with mental disabilities, to live with him. Someone asked, "Why are you doing that?" And Jean replied, "I think it is what Jesus wants me to do." The two men moved with him, and they found that as a family, as their own community, they could live together. And this was a new way of treating people with disabilities at the time. Jean Vanier's action became L'Arche, named after Noah's Ark. This organization now has communities in over 120 countries, all because Jean Vanier was willing and able to imagine what was possible with God. But these sorts of imaginative miracles are not limited to the famous few. They happen all the time, even in your average local church. When I was growing up, my Presbyterian church in the early 70s had a music director who imagined taking his youth choir on a tour, an ambitious project for any church. But this music director's imagination had gone wild. He not only imagined a youth choir tour, but he imagined a youth choir tour of Europe. But that wasn't all he imagined. He imagined a youth choir tour of Eastern Europe, which was all communist at the time, a place where the church had been all but banned. This choir director's imagination caught fire in this local church. And the tour was organized and funded, and 30 high schoolers went to Europe one summer to sing in churches. As it turned out, most of the tour was in Western Europe, but the choir did make a stop at a church in Yugoslavia, which was communist at the time. Before they sang in that church, the tour guide warned them that Christianity was outlawed in Yugoslavia and that they should not expect a big audience. Prepared to sing before a couple of dozen octogenarians, the youth in this choir were startled to see a full house of several hundred people when they came out to sing. Later, in talking to one of the parishioners who could speak English, they were told that the people had come out to see the choir of young people, because in their country, young people did not go to church. The youth choir gave these Yugoslavian church members a hope for the future of their own church as well. And that is the way of religious imagination. It is a way of spreading far beyond where anyone expects it to spread. God spurs the imagination of one person and it ignites someone else's imagination, and so on, until we have a whole alphabet of imagination going on. Imagine that. Amen. We come before God in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those in particular need of prayer. And among those, Linda Lewis and Barb Reppart asked for prayers for the family and friends of Danny Hamilton, who was a childhood friend of theirs who died recently from cancer. Sharon Carlton asked for prayers on behalf of a former student of her daughter. The student's name is Sam, who has been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We hold Sherry Monteith in her prayers, who underwent tests this past week. Eric Fredrickson, who is having a heart procedure this week. We pray for Elaine Russell and Marjorie Beveridge and their rehabilitation. We hold Sue Lample's daughter, Jeannie, in our prayers as she goes through a final phase of chemotherapy. And we hold the family and friends of Betty Gillum, who died a month and a half ago. Now let us take a moment and offer our silent prayers before God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Almighty God, who gave your Son Jesus Christ a realm where all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And so we ask that you make us loyal followers of our living Lord, that we may always hear his word and follow his teachings and live in his spirit. Almighty God, it is your will to restore all things to Christ, whom you have anointed as priest forever and as ruler of creation. Hasten the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to your eternal glory. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ. On this day, O God, we present to you the prayers that come from the deepest recesses of our hearts, our prayers on behalf of loved ones, on behalf of those who are suffering in body and in mind, on behalf of those in leadership who need your guidance, on behalf of those who are oppressed and beaten down, on behalf of those facing difficult decisions, on behalf of those celebrating special occasions, and on behalf of each one of us. God, you have fashioned us as your faithful workers. Free us from all idleness and envy. Let your grace be sufficient for us as we set to the tasks that you have put before us. The things that we pray for, O Lord, give us the grace to labor with a cheerful and courteous heart, courageous heart. And of the things that the human labor cannot achieve, we ask you to provide by your grace alone, until your kingdom is fully established on earth as it is in heaven. This we pray, saying the words taught to us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as you go into the world this day and this week, know that you go with Christ. And as you look at the world, realize that God is inviting you to imagine something even greater. Go in peace. Amen.